is Titans Monday on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Titans are moving on to Baltimore on Saturday. The New England Patriots, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick going home. And it was funny watching the TV shows yesterday. I was watching Countdown on ESPN. And they said, coming up in a little bit, we'll have Bill Belichick's season-ending press conference. And then after the Saints lost yesterday, Floyd, I thought to myself, New England and New Orleans are out, and the Tennessee Titans are still playing football. Is that not crazy to think about?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all year, those have been two of the favorites to go all the way.
Yeah. Now, New England, you know, isn't near as surprising as for me as New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans was a much better team. They just played really poorly yesterday. I mean, I thought the quarterback was really average.
Do you know who the highest rated quarterback in the Titans Patriots game was?
Highest rated quarterback?
Uh-huh.
I mean, probably Tannehill.
Marcus Mariota was the highest rated quarterback. Oh. His one completion for 4 yards for 83.3 rating. Tom Brady was 59.4. Ryan Tannehill, 8 of 15 for 72, a touch and a pick, and he had a 61 rating. So Tannehill was 2 behind Marcus. But Ryan Tannehill only threw the ball for 72 yards. And the Titan pass game was really non-existent outside of the touchdown pass to Firkser, the screen pass to Henry, and then, of course, the big 3rd and 8 to Firkser. A.J. Brown, 1 catch, 4 yards. Pruitt, you know, had 1 catch, so on and so forth. So, Floyd, were you worried about Ryan Tannehill's performance on Saturday? Here's what Ryan Tannehill said when he was asked about his performance.
Yeah, we knew when coming in, we wanted to run the football. Obviously, a really good defense, good in secondary, and make it tough on you throwing the football. So, you know, I don't know if we knew we were going to throw it that little, but they definitely did a good job, and the run game was working for us, so we stuck with it.
Floyd, what do you think of Tannehill's stat line? Concerning, or are we okay with it because they won, or are we okay with it because that's how it was supposed to play out?
Well, I mean, I don't know, of course, but I'd be shocked if that's how they wanted it to play out. I mean, but if you can't get guys open, I mean, you can't throw the ball. And I'm going to tell you that the word's out on AJ now. And so, you know, we got to see if he, you know, against the good teams, if he ever shows up again. Because he's going against Peters this week.
Or Humphreys, who's first team all pro.
Well, Peters' first team all pro, too.
The Ravens have 2 first team all pro corners?
Peters is. I think Peters is the one you're thinking of.
I just saw at the bottom, Marlon Humphrey.
He's a safety.
First team. He's a safety?
I think so, yeah.
I thought he was corner.
No, I think he's a safety. But, yeah, they got a punter. I mean, they got a kicker. They got
I ain't worried about their kickers. I'm talking about their corners. Like, yeah, their corners,
I mean, Peters,
AJ.
Chiefs, Rams. Yeah. That's the guy. He's there. And so, you know, I mean, if you and Corey, you know, couldn't get open.
Corey Davis sucks.
Janu couldn't get open. I mean, you know, there was nobody that could get open.
So we'll get to AJ in it. I am done with Corey Davis. Done. D-O-N-E. Done. He stinks. He cost them on that one play where Tannehill gets a free play. They throw the flag up in the air for the Titans. It's 1st and 15. The Titans have a false start. Then New England jumps, and Tannehill throws the ball down the field because that's what real quarterbacks do, is when you get a free play, you throw the ball down the field. Davis steps out of bounds, comes back in, catches the ball, throw the flag. Now all of a sudden, the 2 penalties offset, and it goes back to 1st and 15. Be aware, Corey. Like, be aware. Don't come back in and catch a ball. That cost the Titans 5 yards right there.
He didn't catch it, if you remember.
Well, he touched it, which is illegal touch.
Yeah, he touched it. He didn't catch it.
Which is another thing.
He knocked it down, I'm sure, thinking that maybe I can get away with it because I didn't catch it.
Then he had the ball on the sideline, which would have been a really good catch if he had made it, where I think it was, I want to say maybe J.C. Jackson was up there with him, and Davis had the ball in his hands, like right at about the 3 or 4 yard line, and the ball was in his hands, and it hit his hands, and then they kind of knocked it out, and it was an incomplete pass. And it would have been a tough catch to make. But you're the 5th overall pick of the draft. You got to catch that ball. That is a ball you got to catch. Now, I don't blame him for the interception that Tannehill threw. that I think Tannehill was trying to throw the ball away and just didn't get enough on it because he was throwing off of his back foot. But he threw it in the direction of Davis, at which point Davis has to become a DB and knock that ball down, and Davis never got back to it. So I'm done with Davis. I'm done. But Brown, I'm worried about Brown because New Orleans put their number one corner on him. He caught one ball. New England put their number one corner on him. He caught one ball. In fact, how telling was it that Gilmore goes out of the game when he and Deion got kind of tripped up? And they don't go right to AJ. I was thinking right then and there, I'm like, okay, Gilmore's out of the game. Throw the ball right to AJ. And they didn't even think about it. And so that I was a little concerned by. Now, Tannehill's performance and Tannehill's stat line, I wasn't so upset about the yard total as much as I was upset about the fact that I thought Tannehill made two crucial mistakes that could have killed you in this game. One being the fumble on the snap, and the other being the interception, where you're moving it around, and all of a sudden, Tannehill's in trouble, and it's like, throw the ball away. Whatever you do, do not turn the ball over against this team, and Tannehill throws an interception. Now, the defense saved his behind on that.
Oh, man, did they ever.
But, like, those are plays. What you, a great you can't, series. You can't do that on Saturday at Baltimore and expect to win. It's not going to happen. So, to be honest with you, I thought Tannehill played okay. I was disappointed that Tannehill didn't play better. I'm worried about AJ, and I'm done with Corey. That's kind of my takeaway from the passing game. What did you think of the passing game?
Well, again, I mean, if you can't get guys open, I mean, obviously, you know, they shut down your receivers and, you know, the tight end, John, who, you know, you end up throwing screens to Derek. That's kind of the sum total of your passing game. Oh, Ferkser, he goes in and you know, gets open. I mean, I think he was like the leading receiver with like two catches.
Yes, he was.
So, I mean, you can't get anybody open. You can't throw the ball.
But do we walk tough. Away from that and say, you know what, they wanted to give it to Derek 34 times. That's what they wanted it to be. So forget about the passing game. They played to win, and to win was to run, so that's okay. Or do we look at it and say, this pass game's got to be better than your leading receiver be 2 for 23?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
if you want any prayer of doing
anything.
I mean,
you throw the ball better than this in high school. Let's face it. So, you know, that was not acceptable. But again, if you can't get open, I don't know who you throw the ball to. You know, they've got – this is – Arthur, you know, has got to find a way to figure out to get AJ open. I don't know if you move him to the slot, if you put him in motion all the time, if you – you know, I mean, you shift him. I don't know what you do. But when he just lines up out there on a good corner, he's not part of the game.
And you know Baltimore's going to take him out of the game too. Because no team has to worry about Corey Davis. I mean, I think that this – am I overreacting to Corey Davis right now? Sure. I mean, here comes AJ. We know Stephon Gilmore's got AJ. And they didn't make any bones about that. We knew it. So, okay. Well, we talked about it. Your pick to click on the pregame show was Corey Davis because you said, okay, Corey's going to have to step up. And Corey did nothing. He did nothing. He was the fifth overall pick, and he did nothing. He sucks. I mean, I don't think you can go into Baltimore with a plan B, okay, try to get Corey Davis the ball.
Well, what are you going to do?
I mean, I'm telling you right now, I have more faith in throwing to Ferkser than I do in throwing to Corey Davis.
Okay.
I'd rather throw to Jonnu. I'd rather throw to Tajay.
Jonnu can't get open either.
I'd rather
throw. I mean, they covered him like a blanket.
Who
I mean, nobody could get open. That was part of the problem. Every throw was hard.
Bad coaching, or was that the Titans receivers just aren't good enough?
They weren't good enough this weekend. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, the one guy that we've been touting is, hey, the number one receiver. Hey, this is a guy. He franchise. This is that. We've seen 3 weeks. He's played three top corners, and now he's caught a total of maybe two balls.
No, and he had all those against the Texans. I mean, AJ lit up the Texans.
I'm not worried about the Texans. I'm worried about the top corners.
Who's the third top corner?
New Orleans. Lattimore
and Gilmore.
And Gilmore killed him. And who else? Isn't there somebody else in there?
No, but two top corners, and he's done nothing against
him. Are you going to get one this week? That's what I was thinking. So this would be the third one. And, I mean, you know what? If you can't get open against the good guys, just a guy.
So is John Robinson running into the Floyd Reese bad luck of trying to find wide receivers in the draft?
And he's... I hope not.
Let's take your call. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Titans' inability to pass on Saturday. Is it a concern or was it part of the ball game? 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesaling Studio powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll get to your text as well. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
We'll try to do everything we can to win a football game this week. And you know, if that's throw it better, and we'll have to throw it better. And if it's to run it better, we'll have to run it better. You know, it's a good defense that we played. Derek was having a lot of success. Our offensive line was moving guys off the ball. You know, again, we'd like to be as balanced as we possibly could be. We'd also like to win a football game.
That was Vrabel and the Titans' lack of passing. So are you concerned about the lack of passing, or do you think that this game against the Ravens, the passing will be back to the way it was, where Ryan Tannehill was passing it like a Joe Montana, you know, level clip?
Well, I don't, I mean, you know, my... Again, when you get to this level, everything picks up a little bit. All these, I mean, there aren't any free agent corners out there now. You know, everybody is a pretty good player. And consequently, if you're going to be whoever you are, you're going to be a big time player, you got to step up too.
But do you think they can do it? I mean, I think as we had discussed in the last segment, I think we've decided what Davis is, right?
You have. I haven't yet.
You're not as discouraged about Corey Davis's performance as I am?
No.
He was atrocious on Saturday.
He got thrown two balls.
And he stunk on both of them.
He was out of bounds on one.
And don't touch it.
Did you see where the pass was? I mean, he couldn't have got out of the way. It was like a rocket right in his chest.
If he had stayed inbounds, it would have been a touchdown.
If we'd thrown on time, he would have been inbounds.
So you blame Tannehill for that.
But we threw it late, and he was out of bounds.
So it's not his fault. It's Tannehill's fault.
Well, I don't know whose fault it is. I'm just...
Sounds like you're making it Tannehill's fault.
Now, hey, let me say this. If you're running out and you throw it late, the receiver's going to be out of bounds. Or he's going to be covered and intercepted, like the second one was.
Well, that I just thought was stupid on Tannehill's part.
All right. Threw it late.
Why didn't he just throw that ball away? That's what it looked like he was trying to do, and he throws the ball off his back foot. And I don't even have an... I mean, that's one of those ones where, as a coach, I'm sure you just want to ream Tannehill out when he gets back over to the sideline, but you know you can't, so you just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I mean, nobody wants to do that. But, again, you're not getting guys open. You're not... You know, you're trying to make a play. You're trying to help us win. You're trying all of those things. And, you know, here you got one shot. And so you throw a little late, hoping he'll come open, and it's too late.
JD on the text line says, not worried about Tannehill's performance against the Patriots. Titans only threw it 15 times by design. It was the Derrick Henry show. The interception was a bad throw, but he made perfect throws in high-pressure situations when it counted. Do you agree with that, Floyd?
I didn't hear it. What did he say?
He said that he was not worried about Tannehill's performance. They only threw it 15 times by design. It was the Derrick Henry show. The interception was a bad throw, but Tannehill made perfect throws in high-pressure situations when it counted.
I assume he's talking about the Firkser pass.
He made one high-pressure throw.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the Firkser pass was really well executed.
I was scared to death that Brady was going to kick a field goal and that now it's going to be 1:48 to go. You've got one timeout, and now Tannehill's going to have to throw the ball through the air. I was scared to death you were going to be put in that situation.
Sure. Especially the way things are going. I mean, it was going to be, we were having a tough time throwing the ball now. But I'll say this, Tom was too. Tom threw for 200 yards, which is the same as 72 for the average guy. You know, so, I mean, 200 yards for them is a nothing. I mean, this game was really, this was a fast game. You know, nobody had a lot of plays. I mean, there. I want to say there were only like 110 plays between the two teams. So, I mean, it was fast. And this week's going to be fast, too.
I know, but if you had told me that the Titans would have had a chance to win the game with the football with about a minute and a half and a timeout left going into this game, I would have taken it knowing what we had seen Tannehill do so far. And I'm not saying Tannehill couldn't have gone down the field and tied, and you know, Tannehill couldn't have hit Firkser for 13, got up on the ball, hit Sharp for 11, got up on the ball, you know, whatever, and that the Titans could have marched right down the field, and now all of a sudden Greg Joseph is out there kicking you into the second round. I'm not saying they couldn't have done that. Going into the game, I would have accepted that as a possibility. Then while I'm in the game, I'm praying that the Titans don't put themselves in that position because they simply couldn't throw. And I'm just wondering if that's a little bit of Tannehill coming back to life and the reality of, hey, this is really, when the going gets tough, this is really what Ryan Tannehill is?
No. I don't think we can put the onus on Tannehill. I mean, I don't. I think, first of all, we didn't need to throw it. It was going to be that type game. You know, nobody had a lot of plays. They weren't tearing us up throwing the ball. I mean, nobody threw the ball well. Nobody caught the ball well. But, I mean, if we get in a situation where we do have to have it, I mean, right now I got a lot more confidence in Tannehill than I do the receiving group. So, that's just me.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Unfortunately, they both matter. And they both matter the same. Cedric is up next here on Titans Monday. Go ahead, Cedric.
Man, we have struggled for an identity for 4 years and six games, and now we have one. What we did on Saturday night was bring back Floyd's formula to win in the AFC. We used, back in the day, we had a quarterback that threw for 13 completions, 76 yards in the pick in round one. That was Steve McNair. You know what I'm saying? When Steve McNair had to do it, no matter how bad he played, he put that cape on, and he would have taken us down the field just like Tannehill would have. Now, yeah, let me tell you about something about coming up about this game with the Ravens. The lower seed.
Cedric.
What's up, man?
We're not on the Ravens yet. We're not on the Ravens yet. The Ravens, we'll have a whole week of Ravens. We're not there yet.
Okay, man. All right. Well, okay. That's fine. But you can't disrespect my boy Tannehill, man. He's out there making a third down throw when it counted, a touchdown throw. He did everything we asked him to do.
That throw to Firkser, that third and eight was beautiful.
Huge. And he had the ball to Derrick Henry. Listen, Ford's formula is great defense, run the ball. You've been saying for years, man, let the big dog eat. Well, dadgummit, we let the big dog eat. We kicked Tom Brady's butt. I told you, man, we was going to put some dirt on that dude. It was going to be over for him. And then tomorrow, man, or Wednesday, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do to the Ravens. But it's going to be more of the same. That dude's done too, man. That's all I got there.
Thanks for the call, Cedric. So,
Cedric, he brings a little energy.
Did this game cause you to lose a little faith in Tannehill?
No, I told you, I'm not blaming Tannehill.
You're blaming the receivers and the fact that they couldn't get open.
Yeah.
Okay, did this cause you to lose faith in the passing game? That if let's say, again, game's on the line at Baltimore, there's no way, and I actually thought this all week, I think Baltimore's defense is better than New England's. So, I'm worried. But if the Titans, do you think the Titans passing game is going to have a better game against Baltimore than they did New England? Do you think that this is the 72 yards is going to be the reality of what the Titans pass game is against good teams? Or do you think that, okay, this game plan, this game, this specific was 72 yards, and next week if Tannehill has to go out there and throw for 330, he can throw for 330?
Well, I mean, you can only throw for 72 if you run for 180. You know, you can't run for 60 and throw for 72. You get your brains kicked in. So, you know, it depends on what else you're doing. But, I mean, this week against that defense, and if Baltimore's better, I mean, that's a concern. But, I mean, if we can't get open, I don't know what we expect Ryan to do. You know, he was getting protection. Would they have one sack? He was getting protection. You know, he had a chance to get the ball. I think the reason he threw the ball late a couple of times was because guys couldn't get open. And so, you know, he's waiting and waiting and waiting and open. And, you know, here comes the ball and it's late. So, I mean, they're going to have to figure that out.
More of your phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, and this is, this almost gave me a heart attack during the game Saturday. The things that people don't want to talk about now because they won. But how big of a deal are they? We'll discuss next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell you about my friend TJ Anderson. That's right. I'm currently in the process of buying a new home with TJ Anderson, and you should as well if you're looking to buy or sell. TJ Anderson Homes, online at tjandersonhomes.com, part of Benchmark Realty. TJ is a Nashville market veteran. He knows what sells. He knows the whole process. He knows what's perfect for you. He knows what you're looking for, and he knows what parts of this city are about to catch on fire. That's why I've hooked up with TJ, and that's why you should too. TJ Anderson is online at tjandersonhomes.com, where they have all new tools so that you can go out there and you can get a look at what you're dealing with before you hit the market looking for a home. Selling, tjandersonhomes.com has thousands of people visiting there every single day, and TJ knows the right prices and the right way to feature your home so you'll get the best bang for your buck. That's right. TJ Anderson Homes is online at tjandersonhomes.com. When you deal with TJ, yes, you're dealing with a team, but you're dealing with one guy who's going to find the best fit for you. Buying or selling, that's my friend TJ Anderson. Your road to Nashville area real estate begins with my friend TJ Anderson, online at tjandersonhomes.com. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here comes the pressure. Pass intercepted. No! He couldn't hold on. Logan Ryan looked up, and all he saw was daylight.
Oh, this is going to be, if they don't win this game, the play, that's a touchdown. He's going right to the house. Tom Brady's the only guy that can catch him. And off the hands of Watson and Logan Ryan, he was already going. He was already going to the house. He cannot believe it. Watch the space, Jim, that he has right here.
I mean, it was not even coming at a strange angle. It was right in his belly.
I would have loved to be at your house when Logan dropped the pick six.
Oh.
I mean, I could not believe it. I mean, I thought when he dropped it, I go, if they lose, this is where they lost the game.
Well, and it's so funny because as I'm sitting there and I say to myself, you know, from a momentum standpoint, I'm thinking, now, if you could get a turnover right here, it would be so big. And then that happens, and I went, oh, no. You know, you don't think that's coming back. But he got it back later on.
So I think we can all agree, and this is what Logan Ryan had to say, by the way, about that drop pick six. He's not going to avoid the fact that he dropped a game-altering pick.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows I should have had the one before halftime, and I was looking for at the run before I even secured the catch, and I never do that. I always pride myself on having great hands, and I dropped the easiest pick of my career. But I had faith. I said the ball's going to come back to me, and I think everyone of my teammates knew that was a fluke and said, Logan, the ball's going to get back, come back to you again. It's going to come back to you again, and I believed it. And what do you know? It came right back to me again. So I appreciate TB12 for that one, man. That one's going on my mantle.
So that was from Logan Ryan. And I will say this. I mean, when he dropped the ball, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I almost wanted to cry when he dropped the ball because all of a sudden – you've taken the wind out of that, the air out of the stadium by having Derrick Henry essentially one single-handedly execute a two-minute drill on his own to score a touchdown to put you ahead, and you get the ball to start the second half, which you know Belichick hates because Belichick always wants the ball to start the second half. So now the Patriots have to kind of hurry it up a little bit because the last thing they want to do is all of a sudden lose the lead and then give Tennessee the ball back, and then Tennessee scores to start the second half. And to have that interception would have just killed them. And they didn't. And we would be talking about that play today, and we would be talking about the two Tannehill mistakes, the drop fumble, and the drop snap that led to the fumble, and the interception, if the Titans lost the game. And Floyd, I'm just convinced that you don't beat the Patriots making those kind of plays, not making those kind of plays, not getting a pick six when it's handed to you.
Sure.
You missed that opportunity just the way I was thinking in live time watching the game. I'm like, you missed that opportunity. You don't beat New England. That's the reality. And I'll be honest with you, I feel the same way about next week. Lamar throws you one for a pick six. You don't make it. You lose. And maybe this is what shows us that it's a different Patriot team than we're used to when we talk about the Patriots. But I could not believe the Titans got away with those big of mistakes, and it didn't cost them the football game. Now, I'll say this. New England gave you two huge Christmas presents. One was the Julian Edelman drop, which I don't think I've ever seen him drop a ball like that. That was a 2nd and 6 late in the game. Brady puts it right in his chest, and he just drops it. I've never seen Edelman do that in, what, 10 years?
Him?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like a 10, 12-year guy.
So, like, how have you ever seen that kind of drop from Edelman before?
Oh, I'd have to think back. I probably have at some point.
In a playoff game of that caliber? And then the other one was the Titans got no pressure on Brady, which is another thing. I mean, occasionally they got a little pressure, but generally speaking, they got absolutely no pressure on Tom Brady, which I don't even know how they got away with that. But Brady had all day to throw, and he threw the ball down the field, and he hit Benjamin Watson for a huge gain, and then all of a sudden it got called back. And I remember watching that play thinking, surely somebody's going to get to Brady at some point. And Brady then goes up and chucks it, and I'm thinking, maybe this is a jump ball, and that a DB is running with someone, and like Byard can jump up over one of their guys and get it. And then I see Watson standing there all by himself, and he catches it like a punt, and I thought, you got to be bleeping me. Like, you've got to be kidding me. And then a flag comes out, and Jim Nantz goes, flag down to the Patriot 40-yard line. And I'm like, oh, please be on them. Please be on them. Please be on them. Please be on them. Brady starts to signal on the Titans. So I'm thinking, oh, God. And then I think it was Tony that said, I think this might be going against the Patriots. And as soon as John Hussey, whose crew I thought did a pretty good job on Saturday, as soon as John Hussey put his hand on his head to signal ineligible man downfield, I thought, oh, thank God. Because that wiped out, what, a 35, 40-yard gain?
There was a big play, yeah.
So the Patriots gave you those two plays. I'm not used to the Patriots giving you those kind of plays, but I'm just, I mean, is it wrong to harp on the plays that the mistakes the Titans made in the game Saturday and kind of highlight them and put a red flag in there and say, okay, hold on, this is something we got to be concerned about, and they have to clean up before Baltimore? Or do we say, look, mistakes are going to be made in football games. The Patriots made mistakes. You're going to have to go out there and make mistakes at Baltimore and still get away with it, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is each one of these games has a life of its own. You know, and you have to go out there and you have to coach and you have to play accordingly. You have to understand the way things are going. And even though you start with a specific game plan and say, okay, we're going to throw, you know, to Brown 10 times this game. Well, all of a sudden you get in a game and you go, oh, well, that's not going to work now. Okay, we got to go to plan B. What's plan B? And that's one of the strengths that New England has. But it appears that, I mean, I think Vrabel and his staff did an outstanding job of adjusting to all of that. Because he not only affected what we were doing, I think he affected what they were doing. I mean, Tom, we were covering those guys. Our defense, especially in the second half, we had them covered. And there was nobody getting open, nobody getting the ball. You know, I mean, it was, and we were forcing their pass offense, which was really, really good. Now, they started running the ball a little bit better, and at a point in time, I almost got a little bit concerned about that. But, I mean, I didn't see them running the ball long enough to where they could take over the game.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they didn't. So, but I thought we did a great job of, you know, as the old saying, do business as business is being done. And we went in there, and it was not going to be a day for throwing the ball. There just weren't a lot of plays.
I would have loved to be at your house when Tannehill dropped the snap. And Derrick Henry jumped on the ball, and that play could have been a killer. I mean, you were going up to essentially kick a field goal to go up by 4. And that was when Vrabel ended up playing the clock game with Belichick. But, I mean, I could not believe that. Like, those plays, I'm just like, they cannot happen this week against Baltimore. I can't believe you got away with them against the Patriots. You dropped a pick six at New England. I cannot believe that. And got away with it. Got away with it.
And got one back.
And got one back. Although, so, I mean, that was... I mean, at that point, who cared? You know, I mean, at that point, it didn't matter. You almost would have had a better chance of winning had they completed that ball and you tackled the guy right there. And then all of a sudden, would they get up, spike it, and have one play after that?
Well, we would have had a better chance of winning if Logan hadn't run it into the end zone.
Right, if Logan just goes down.
Yeah, it just goes down, but I understand what he was
doing. Well, people were asking me, why would Vrabel go for two? I go, because if you go up by 9 points, they absolutely, unequivocally cannot win the game. You go up by seven, they're gonna, if they score a touchdown, a miracle touchdown, they're going to kick an extra point and go to overtime. If you're up by eight, they score a miracle touchdown, they have to go for two and get it. If you're up by nine, even a miracle touchdown doesn't beat you. Let's go back to your phone. 615-737-1025. James on the Titans passing game. What's up, James? James!
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, I watch football for ever since I was about 10 or 12 years old. And I seen what Tennessee was doing wrong. They should have ran hard about 30, 40 yards and get their receivers slant to the left, to the right, on each side of the field, and some of them will get open, and that's what I seen them not doing. They was blanket all the way, and they won the game. And Tannehill's their workhorse.
Go ahead. Floyd, your thoughts.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think they've, you know, they're going to have to find a way to get these guys open. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Because people, what happens is, and we said this before, you know, you reach a certain level in the league, whatever that level is, depending on whatever position you play, well, people start treating you differently. Well, when people start treating you differently, you have to adapt or you're never going to get to that next level. You can't get there. And so, you know, we're going to have to adjust from level one to level two, whatever that may be. And until we do that, I mean, it makes it hard on everybody because we expect, you know, you're playing guys that don't have corners and you're scorching them and people are saying, all right, we're going to be great when we get in the playoffs. Then you get in the playoffs and they've got corners and you're not doing squat. Now what? You know, that's tough.
Texter says into the text line, don't underestimate the fact the Patriots secondary was first overall and Derrick Henry was averaging 6 yards a carry. Why force something against the strength when you're winning on the ground? They've shown under Ryan Tannehill that they can throw when they need to. Do you agree with that?
I would agree, yeah. I mean, I think they went in and, you know, this game and they saw what was happening and they said, fine, we'll just carry this on for a while. And it worked. You know, and you know, we don't know. I mean, going into the game, if I'm Arthur and if I'm Mike Vrabel, I mean, I'm a little bit concerned about who's going to get open just because of who their corners were. You know, how are we going to do this? And so, you know, the game plan might have been to get the ball to the tight ends more, might have been to get to the slot more, you know, and the running backs. I don't know that, but. But that's certainly a possibility. Anyway, that's, you know, that's what ended up happening. I mean, we just didn't throw the ball a whole bunch. Thank God we didn't need to. And we just ran the heck out of Derek.
The Titans have put out their game release for Saturday. They do not have an official listed yet as who will be the referee in this game. I thought John Hussey did a great job. I mean, I think they miss calls. Every ref's going to miss calls. But compared to all the other games, I thought John Hussey's crew did a fantastic job. So I am eagerly awaiting who the referee is on Saturday night, praying that it's not Jerome Boger or Ron Torbert or...
I can't believe Torbert's... I mean...
The Boger will get an assignment?
Boger, yeah, is in the playoffs.
He was the alternate last year of that NFC title game, that Rams game. Maybe he'll be an alternate this year. I was stunned. Did you... Bill Vinovich was the alternate in the Titans game. Bill Vinovich is one of the league's, you know, number one referees, and he was the alternate. I was a little surprised by that. Mm. I thought Carl Cheffers, his crew did an okay job in the Saints-Vikings game. I didn't think they did a great job, but I thought they were okay. So I think we'll see. I'd be stunned if it isn't, you know, Vinovich or Tony Corrente, although Tony Corrente, boy, they almost blew that Bills and Texans game on that fair catch, non-fair catch, giving yourself up thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure they got that right anyway.
You think it should have been a Buffalo touchdown?
I'm not sure it shouldn't have been. Now, I understand the way they called it and why they called it and all that stuff, but I don't know. And I didn't study it as much as I just looked at it a couple of times, but you look at that and you start saying, wait a minute now, what are you calling here? You know what? The guy called it and flipped it.
Matthew Hasselbeck said on ESPN, he goes, so can the quarterback just go take the snap and just hand it to the referee?
Yeah.
Like, do we not even take knees anymore with the... Oh, goodness. Back to your phones on the Titans and Patriots. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Michelle. Not this time. That's Evans. Second and goal. Superb. And he's short. Third and goal. They bring Roberts in at fullback. Michelle. They got him again. What a goal line stand by the Titans. Evans.
Gave up 14 points tonight, but, you know, in this game it was too much. Weren't able to get the ball back at the end. So, you know, there were a lot of good things, but... just not quite good enough tonight.
Titans goal line stand. Floyd, before we get right back to the phones, how about that Titan defense? That, I mean, I don't know about you, after that first drive, I was a little nervous. It was going to be a long day. Titan defense does not give up anything in the second half, and two goal line stands essentially in the game.
Yeah, the goal line stands and the just giving up field goals, you know, a couple times. That was monstrous, simply because, you know, I mean, you're saving yourself 4 points, and that's, you know, how we ended up getting the lead at halftime, which we never relinquished. So, I mean, I thought it was just outstanding. I mean, the goal line stand, I thought Evans was super. I thought the defense, I thought Jones, I think it was
Jones, you know, Simmons, and Johnson all had, you know, big pushes at certain points on the goal line.
Yeah, I think Jones made it and helped Rashad make one of those tackles. So, I mean, it was special, and that ended up being gigantic in the game.
I think Jones made the second tackle. Like the second one on the second down, like Evans made the first tackle, Evans made the third tackle, I think Jones made the second tackle, or maybe it was Johnson right there. Guy would have crossed the goal line if he didn't just grab him, bear hug him, and just bring him down. I thought the big boys up front were fantastic. I just wish they could get a little more pressure. I was a little worried at how little pressure they got on Tom Brady. You know, they really got no pressure. Poor Brady. Those receivers he has are awful.
Yeah, we had no pressure. And again, if they would have had the time or the opportunity or whatever to line up and throw it 50 times, I mean, it might have been all the difference in the world.
We got a little breaking news. Sources telling me Bill Vinovich will be the referee on Saturday at Baltimore. So Bill Vinovich will be the referee, just what I've been told. Bill Vinovich is going to be the referee on Saturday against Baltimore. He is, generally speaking, one of the league's most respected referees. That being said, I thought his crew left a little bit to be desired this season when I watched them call games. I mean, remember that helmet hit they gave the Titans against the Texans?
Yes, sir.
I mean, they were bad that whole game. Now, it's a different crew because it's an all-star crew.
Yep.
But Bill Vinovich is going to be the referee on Saturday against the Ravens. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Frank is up next on Mike Vrabel. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Frank.
I just wanted to ask you how you feel about Mike Vrabel and the offensive coordinator now, since they were so bad, you hated them in the beginning of the year.
I never disliked this offensive coordinator. Now, the last year's offensive coordinator, yeah, I think he stinks. But this year's offensive coordinator, even when the fans got on Arthur Smith, you never heard me go at Arthur Smith. I let Floyd defend Arthur Smith. Thank you for your call. I let Floyd defend Arthur Smith, and I let the callers complain about Arthur Smith, but I never really said much about Arthur one way or another. I'll say this. I think when John Robinson hired Mike Vrabel, this is the exact kind of game he expected Vrabel to coach. You know, and I go back to how much I brought up Mike Mularkey and the fact that, hey, they won a playoff game under Mularkey. This playoff win feels 100 times different than that playoff win 2 years ago. That playoff win 2 years ago felt like the ultimate fluke, right? Like Kansas City had you up 21-3 at the half. You got a touchdown pass to Marcus, a total meltdown by Andy Reid, and you won that Kansas City game, but you really didn't feel like you were going to do much after that. This year, you win this game at New England. I mean, again, we'll get to Baltimore later in the week. I know Baltimore is incredible. They have not lost since September. I think the Titans can go to Baltimore and win. I'm not saying they will, and I'm not saying I'm predicting that they will. I just feel different about this Baltimore game than I did the New England game 2 years ago, where I felt like your team just wasn't really there. And that the way that the Titans coached it, the game plan they had, both offensively and defensively, that's what John Robinson wanted when he made the change at coach. And that's what he got from Vrabel on Saturday. I thought Vrabel was fantastic Saturday.
So you think he'll keep his job?
Yes.
You think he'll be on the hot seat?
No. But I said Vrabel, I said the only way Vrabel gets on the hot seat is if they don't make the playoffs in the first 3 years. And they made the playoffs. And not only did they make the playoffs, they won.
So do we like him now?
I never didn't like Vrabel. I don't know where you're getting this. Ian.
Hey, anytime you start a show in the first segment, we're talking about him getting fired or him being on the hot seat. That
him entering
is,
next year
that
hot seat.
Is not love. That is not.
Well, that's because this show explores all angles.
Oh, is that it?
And if they had lost the Texan game, if they had lost the Texan game and not made the playoffs, which was the if that led into all of that, if they had lost the Texan game, I think fans would be feeling much differently than they are now. The truth is, football is about winning. That's what it's about. Football is about winning. And when they had to win against the Texans, Mike Vrabel found a way. And when they had to win against the Patriots, Mike Vrabel found a way. But that's what football's about. You live this life. It's all about winning. Doesn't matter if you're a nice guy. It's, are you going to win? And that's where I, you know, the Titans the last 2 weeks, I think have definitely raised a lot of eyebrows with the fact that they've won. Andrew is up next on Logan Ryan. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I drove up to Foxborough from Myrtle Beach about 14 hours, and I just called my buddy to tell him the great experience I had, and he stopped me. He's like, Andrew, I want to talk about that Logan Ryan pick in the fourth quarter. I'm like, yeah, what about it? His game ceiling. It's like, yeah. But was it the smartest decision for him to actually go in for the pick six when he could have just knelt down and the game would have been over? Because Jared, he said this whole show, Tom Brady's kind of like the boogeyman. It's never over till it's really over. What's your thoughts on if Logan Ryan really made the smartest football decision in those circumstances? I'll hang up and listen.
Didn't you just say that, Floyd?
Yeah, he should, yeah. It was not the smartest. I mean, the smartest thing would have been for him to stop on the 1 yard line or whatever and take a knee. Simply because, you know, now you've got the ball, you go in there and you run the clock out, game over, take a couple of knees and, you know, you're done. And you come away with a win. That being said, I mean, he was so pumped. I mean, and I think he's making up for the first one. I mean, it was a mistake any way you cut it, but I think he knows that. And I think had the situation been different, or if it occurs again, he'll know what to do with it.
So apparently, just reading up, John Hussey was the referee on Saturday. Bill Vinovich was the alternate referee on Saturday, and Bill Vinovich will ref the Titans game this week. Do you take anything away from the fact that the guy who is reffing the game this week may not have reffed your game last week, but was a part of reffing your game in the fact that he was the alternate?
No, I don't think I do.
And how do you study these refs for the playoffs when they have all-star crews? Like, it's easy to say, okay, this crew calls a lot of holding.
This crew calls
personal fouls. This crew calls. How do you do that in the playoffs?
You only get numbers on the head guy, you know. But during the season, you're talking about the same crew. Now all that's different, you know. So, you know, the only thing you can do is give them the info that you've got, but it may not be good info, truth is. And that's why I think we see in these playoff games, I mean, they're a little bit less likely to pull the flag out of their back pocket, you know, simply because I think they use the excuse we want to let them play. But I think part of it is they're not quite completely sure about the guy that's with them, you know, whether or not he should or shouldn't.
Isn't that kind of stupid? Like, why do we have all-star crews? Why don't we just have the best crews ref the playoffs? So if your crew grades out the highest, then you get the Super Bowl.
Yeah, in theory, if you're in a crew where you've got a great, you know, head guy, and you've got a great lineman and a great back judge, but you've got an awful side judge, then you make up for the side judge. In theory. You know, you're eliminating all the bad guys and you're only going with the absolute best. But I understand the, you know, your concern, and I have part of it myself. I mean, I keep thinking the longer you're together, the longer you have a good feel for what the guy's going to do, you're probably going to make a better decision. Certainly a quicker decision, but probably a better one.
Bill Vinovich was the head official in the Saints-Rams NFC title game, which, of course, we all know that was where they missed the pass interference. Although Vinovich had absolutely nothing to do with that non-pass interference call, other than being the guy who didn't call pass interference.
Had to stand up in front of the press?
Yes. Well, and by stand up in front of the press, you mean stand up in front of the pool reporter, not actual cameras and media and all that kind of stuff. But Vinovich last year ranked first in the ESPN referee link, the preview list by ESPN that ranked the referees. Bill Vinovich ranked first in the top 10 referees in the league. So, I mean, Vinovich, basically, when there's a big game, I feel like the league puts Bill Vinovich, Cleet Blakeman, or Tony Carreni on the game. And they're putting Bill Vinovich on this game. So that's who you get. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The Big Dog 8 against the Patriots. But did he do more than just that? We'll discuss next. Chair and the GM. Titans Monday. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.